everybody knows, every Tuesday night at 8, another exciting and insightful edition of the MCW Cast. I'm Legacy, MCW announcer, Larry Legend.
I'm MCW promoter, Dan McDevitt.
And I'm Tara. Welcome to the cast.
I demand that you refer to yourself as the heart of MCW, Tara.
Okay, that's how everybody else calls me that, but all right. Fine, I'll call myself the heart of MCW.
Relish in it. Drink it in. There would be no birthday parties.
I've seen them.
They're lovely t-shirts.
Thank you.
But yeah, we're back. Episode 64.
That's right.
We're on our way to, what's double 52? 104? Yeah, we're on our way to 104, which is season 3 we'll be at. Before you know it, you blink and you miss it.
I know. We are moving right on into April, and we've got a lot of, we've got shows coming up. We got some very big shows coming up. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who's been following along and listening to us on Facebook and YouTube, and of course, listening on the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, CastBox, and all of the rest. So thank you for that.
And if you're watching along live on YouTube and Facebook, you know, when we first got rip-roaring with this podcast, I used to see a lot more conversation going on. I would sometimes jump in it myself. Post the episode or when we go to break. But yeah, interact with one another. Tell us, you know, who you want to see. The MCW Cast Twitter. We're over 100 followers now. It only took us a year. and we want more. So let us know. Interact with us. I had a dream of us being the most interactive podcast out there, you know, and really interacting with our Dr. D's and our Brettos and Greg Papalukas's and all of our longtime MCW faithful fans. But I feel like our sort of reach is a little diminishing. So I encourage you, say something in the chat, interact, talk out loud. We love to see it. We love to hear it.
Right. And don't worry about interacting after the fact. So I know a lot of people, myself included, catch streaming content way after it has premiered. Yeah. So don't worry about that. Go ahead, drop a comment, something like that in there. If there was something you found interesting or something you'd like to hear more of or see more about, because a lot of times we just run out of time in the podcast. So we have lots of information that we just don't even get to. So if there's a topic that piqued your interest, please let us know, because we can respond to that and bring you all into the conversation as well.
But one thing that we're not on the MCW Cast is rude.
Right.
So let us address the elephant at the room or at the table. And I'm not trying to, you know, diminish your stature, sir, but right here with us on the MCW Cast, the one and only BJJ World Champion, Tim Spriggs.
What's good, everybody?
Hey, welcome back.
Tim Spriggs here. It's good to be back.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a solo episode now.
That's right. Before we had him on with Chad Clark. But now.
I'm here for a brief segment, right?
Spotlight's on you.
Yes, I'm used to it by now. I've been in the game for a long time. You know, I belong in the spotlight since day one, since the day I was born. I was destined to be in the spotlight, whether it was in theater, sports, Hollywood. I just filmed a movie this past week here at the Joppa Arena. So I'm used to the spotlight, but thanks for having me once again.
All right, well, I see
another person that was in the theater. This is like are we in the theater?
Well, that's what.
Yes.
That's why I popped so big our last episode.
That's like
Hootie Miles.
Every episode.
Yes,
now,
yes.
Hanging out with people with theater backgrounds, really.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we're on to something. Is what why I popped so big when we had Tahuti on, and Tahuti mentioned that that was his background, because I thought immediately of you, Tim. I thought of Eel O'Neill. I thought of Erica Lee. I thought
Lila
of Eric
Gray.
Lila Gray, and even our very own Leo Rush, who. Who's like dabbling now in films and television and things like that. They go hand in glove.
Yeah.
But we come from an era, my era of breaking in, where it was kind of a taboo thing to be like, yeah, I have a background in theater. I know Shakespeare and sonnets and things like that. Because it's like, what are you doing here, you know? But now, in 2022, you can be loud and proud about it. And it can pay dividends.
Well, it is a natural transition, I think, because there's so much in the theatrical aspect of wrestling, and also, you know, part that goes along with acting is putting yourself out there, you know, reaching out, going out to casting calls. It's very similar to reaching out to promoters and trying to get booked. You know, there's such a similarity there.
There's also a real big similarity in the nature of kind of wanting to be the show stealer. Okay, so everyone's going to be in the play. People are going to be in the ensembles. People are going to have supporting roles. But you want people to leave that theater remembering your performance. Just like when we do an MCW show right here at the MCW Arena, whether your first match, second match, or the main event, you want people leaving going, oh, I really can't wait to see that Boom Haydner, you know, whoever, you know, do something with Ken Dixon again, you know. Yeah. That's what you want. So the competition is not only fierce in the actual thing that you're doing, but then amongst your peers to be the very best.
And you, Tim Spriggs, are getting some action there in that regard. People are talking about you after our last event in Parkville. There were some comments made, some of our fans. They noticed how quickly you ran through one of our seasoned veterans here at MCW.
G-Fed. George.
One of the most interesting things I think we should, you know, is MVP. Posting on his Instagram, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yes.
And so MVP mentioned in his Instagram that he trained with you, jiu-jitsu?
Yes. Before I ever started in professional wrestling, I was known as the best grappler in the world. You can Google me right now, everybody that's watching back at home. And I met MVP through Instagram because he's a jiu-jitsu aficionado. He's actually a world champion. He is a legitimate shooter, as they say in the industry, and he contacted me because he wanted to know this throw that I do. It's called the train wreck. I've given several people concussions with it. I've submitted people with it. It's one of the most devastating techniques in all of martial arts. He came to Maryland to train with me. We exchanged knowledge. He taught me some game about wrestling, and I taught him a lot about jiu-jitsu, and I used that knowledge to take me to where I am today. Of course, everyone at MCW helped me as well, but that's how I met MVP. We're really close. I consider him my OG in the game.
So was this after he was already established in pro wrestling, like during, I guess, after he left WWE and all that, or was this way before then?
This was between him not being in WWE and him coming back.
Before
he came back, we got pretty close. I helped him prepare for the Worlds of Jiu-Jitsu in Las Vegas a few years ago. And he was just talking about the business, but he wasn't in WWE yet.
He won a championship?
Yes. He placed the year I helped him, and he recently won. He is a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu right now. He is a shooter.
I never knew that about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that about him until I saw that Instagram post, and I saw that, and someone texted me up and was like, hey, man, MVP was putting over Tim Spriggs. And I was like, and then I looked it up, and I didn't even realize he trained into that.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So now did you talk to him about getting into wrestling?
Absolutely. That was part of the reason why we started communicating so much, because he wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, and I respect MVP. As a wrestler, he is a legend. He's arguably the greatest United States champion there ever was. He's a superstar. And I learned a lot from him.
I personally, like, from promoter and behind the scenes guy, think, you know, Bobby Lashley's rise had a lot to do with MVP and MVP talking for him and become part of the Hurt Business. I think, you know, like, where Bobby's Lashley's at now in his career definitely, I think, had a lot to do with bringing MVP in and making him a part of his character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So no doubt, you know what I mean? MVP was...
Even though Leo paved the way.
Yeah, Leo paved the way, but MVP Lashley, kind of stuck.
Lashley. Oh, yeah. He even gave him a shout-out the night Lashley finally won the world championship, I remember. But yeah, that's I think that I had known something about MVP's background, because when he was first introduced to the WWE, he was MVP for a reason. His athleticism and what he was bringing to the table and accomplishments he had made outside of being a pro wrestler was what really brought him to the dance. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I had some knowledge of him, you know, having a little bit of expertise in jiu-jitsu.
So at the time when you met him, I guess, were you toying with training to be a pro wrestler, and that's why you kind of, like, you had it in your, I guess you were probably just focused in jiu-jitsu, but
I was focused on jiu-jitsu, but once I started watching wrestling again, I had always had it in my mind that I would eventually go into professional wrestling, because quite frankly, especially now, professional wrestling is where I need to be. It's my pathway to the life that I want, because jiu-jitsu can't afford me any longer. I have greater aspirations. You know, I like fast cars. I like beautiful women. I like my palatial estate in Howard County. I like these things. I deserve the finer things. I mean, you see how I'm dressed now. Whenever I go to these jiu-jitsu events, people are shocked because I come in there with a bespoke suit. You know what bespoke means, right? That means my suit has my name in it, not Jose Bank, not Men's Warehouse, my name. I'm used to those things. And I reached the pinnacle of jiu-jitsu. And in my mind, for years, I knew that the place that I needed to be was in that squared circle. I looked up to guys coming up like The Rock, Dave Bautista. These guys made the transition from professional wrestling and made even more money in Hollywood. Speaking of Hollywood, I was in a movie. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
No, no. But I was, you've got a lot going on.
I have so much going on. You know, I am the modern day Deion Sanders in sports. I've already mastered jiu-jitsu. I'm here to take over wrestling, and I'm here to take over Hollywood, and that's been my goal, Dan, for years. So it's always been in the back of my mind. It's just that now, the time is now. So
you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of big talk out of you, Tim. But take it from somebody who's been to the upper echelons of different companies. I guarantee you that someone is going to hear the words that are coming out of your mouth right now and want to break you, because I mean, it's all well and good to say that you're the Deion Sanders of BJJ or WWE, but there's always going to be someone that's waiting in the wings that's going to coddle you into a false sense of security that you are the things that you pretend to be or you say that you are, but they like to pull the rug out under a young, handsome, attractive, well-spoken brother as soon as you get almost to the pinnacle of where it is that you aspire to be. So does that ever kind of weigh on your conscience that, you know, you've had this success in BJJ.
Yes.
You want to have this success that is an MVP level or even greater in pro wrestling.
Yes.
But just knowing that jealousy and envy are things that exist in all industries, and for the big talk, someone is going to want to shut you up.
Well, Larry, you said a word earlier in that sentence. They wanted to break me, right? I'm unbreakable. I'm going to tell you a little story.
All right.
Okay, here's story time with the Mushmaster. 2013, I'm on the warpath in jiu-jitsu. My goal is to win the Grand Slam in BJJ. That means I need to win the World Championships, the European Championships, the Brazilian Nationals, and the European Championships. I was halfway there. One night, we're training. The next day, we're supposed to fly out to Brazil for the Brazilian Nationals, which is arguably the most difficult tournament in all of jiu-jitsu. And I am training with a 300-pound college wrestler turned jiu-jitsu black belt and another college wrestler turned jiu-jitsu black belt, multiple-time black belt world champion. In the beginning of practice, I'm wrestling them. I take the collegiate wrestler down, the black belt world champion, collegiate wrestler, and I land on his knee on my stomach. I want you guys to imagine, you know, you see Eddie Guerrero doing the frog splash and someone lifts their knees up and he hurts. Oh, well, in real life, just like in wrestling. I mean, in wrestling, wrestling is real life. It actually happens, and Eddie's really tough, but I actually almost died from that. You see, when I landed on my teammate's knee, it perforated my intestines, so I was bleeding out.
Oh, my goodness.
This is about 15 minutes in practice. I just assume that I got hit in the liver and I'm being soft because in my mind, I'm unbreakable. I don't care about pain. I'll push through. So I finish practice. I'm in the fetal position on the floor in the locker room. I end up getting a ride to the hospital. They do x-rays, CAT scans. Eventually, they put me under. I wake up. I look at my stomach. Sutures down across my stomach, and they tell me that, Tim, you almost died. If you had went on that plane the next morning, you wouldn't be here. You would have passed away on the flight. You'd been dead by the time you made it to Brazil. They said, my season is over. I'm lucky to not be carrying around a bag with my own feces, a colostomy bag.
Wow.
Done. They thought my career was over, but you know what I did? Within a week, I was on my feet again. Walked out of the hospital. I didn't want a wheelchair. I walked out of the hospital and I said, I will be world champion this time next year. And you know what I did? I won the world title. Grand slammed the next year. So I'm unbreakable. I can deal with politics. That's nothing but jiu-jitsu. I get haters all the time. People have been trying to plot on my downfall since I got into jiu-jitsu. And I know people are hating on me in wrestling as well, but they can't stop me. I'm the chosen one. I've been through life threatening injuries. I've gone through the worst things imaginable in and outside the ring, and nothing will stop me. And I will get to the top by any means necessary. I don't care who it is. They're getting knocked over if they get in my way. Does that answer your question?
Wow.
By any means necessary. Yes. Actually is an exclamation point of an answer to my question. We want to hear more from you, and our viewers at home want to hear more from you. We do need to pause for internet station identification, but stay with us, folks. We're going to be right back here with Mushmaster Tim Spriggs.
You already know your child is a wrestling superstar, so give them the chance to prove it by stepping into the ring with the most memorable birthday they will ever have. A party at the MCW Arena is a one-of-a-kind experience that gives kids of any age a chance to live their dreams and be a part of the show. Every guest will enjoy the celebration as they make memories that will last a lifetime. So skip the ball pits and trampolines and visit MCWProWrestling.com to sign up for an MCW birthday party today.
All right, welcome back to the cast. We are here with our guest tonight, Tim Spriggs. Welcome. So we were chatting about your accomplishments earlier, and I just wanted to ask, and I haven't had a chance to do this yet, but how did you get your name, the Mushmaster?
That is an awesome story, actually.
I can't wait to hear.
Well, there was a tournament. It was a team tournament. So it was 5-on-5 team tournament in jiu-jitsu. So you have four teams. It was my team, Team Lloyd Irvin, and there was three other teams. They don't really matter because they're not my team. And it was basically single elimination. Our team had a first round matchup with another team. And then there was these two other teams. And someone on one of the other teams that wasn't on the side of my bracket had went online and just called me all types of names that I don't think I can say on this lovely podcast of yours. Called me everything but my God-given name. Said he was going to break my leg if we were to make it to the finals against his team. Unluckily for him, we made it to the finals pretty easily, if I may add. And now he was face to face with me. Side note, at the weigh-ins, he was staring off in the corner looking at me, and I'm standing in the middle chilling because my thing is, if you want the smoke, I'm down whenever you want it. If you have a problem with me, you can approach me. Now, I'm not saying that I'm invincible. Anyone can get their butt kicked, but I'm going to make it hard for you, and I'm a man. So I'm going to end up fighting you, and someone's going to get locked up or go to the hospital. Nonetheless, he didn't want that smoke. So he was just staring at me after talking all this trash at the weigh-in. The next day, we're set to face each other, and he talked all this trash, guys. He said he was going to break my leg. He called me all kinds of horrible names. And then I proceeded to put him on his back, get on top of him, and mount, full mount, on top of him like – do you remember A Christmas Story?
Yeah, of course.
Where Ralphie beat up the bully, Marcus. It was like that, except you can't punch people in jiu-jitsu.
Right.
But I just mushed him. I had my hand over his face for 10, 15 minutes, holding his nose, gave him a wet willy, covered his mouth, and he couldn't do anything. He just sat there like this, like, because he knew he was dead. I could have killed him. I could have ended his life right then and there, but I wanted to follow the rules because at the end of the day, I'm a businessman and it would have cost us a lot of money if we did not win this match. But that's how I got the name the Mushmaster.
Wow. All right.
He shouldn't open his mouth.
So I got to ask a question and excuse my ignorance, but I have been in wrestling for 30 years.
Yes.
Do you, when you have 5-on-5, do you tag in and out?
No.
Is it like
that? It's five different matches. It's best out of five.
Somebody watching this was wondering that.
It's best out of five. We had different weight classes. So we had a woman and four guys. So there was a women's division. There's not enough women in jiu-jitsu to have different weight classes. So we had a woman on our team, and we had different weight classes, like 145, 155, 185, heavyweight, something like that. And I was the heavyweight. That's how it works. Best three out of five, kind of like the NBA.
Okay. So you don't actually tie him up and...
No. Imagine. It would have been way worse. It would have been way worse with him. My teammates...
I mean, I'm just asking.
That's a good question.
Valid question,
because sometimes in Russia, they have like tag team MMA or like... Oh, really? Yeah, it's like 5-on-5. They just go fight each other in a cage. That's Russia, though.
Yeah, I've seen that online where they do that in cages and wondered, like, what the hell is that?
They have everything.
Have you ever seen it online? Yeah.
Or I got asked to do a reality show once, another reality show, and they were having night fights where you wear chainmail.
Like armor?
Yes, armor with swords and stuff. And I said, I'm not doing this. You're not paying me enough, and I'm not going to get injured. I'm not going to cost myself some jiu-jitsu.
Oh, wow. And they weapons? They have weapons?
Yes.
Like real ones?
We beat the hell out of each other with like swords and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
And we've never heard of this, so it must not have gone anywhere. I mean, like, we haven't seen the jousting reality show where, you know, a flail or whatnot, you know. I'm glad you thought better than to do that.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's never been a joust-a-mania.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to.
Maybe a
All right, one of my favorite virtual reality games is a jousting game.
I used to love the arcade game Joust.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Remember? Well, I used to love it.
There's this place in New York City that is, like, four floors of nothing but VR games, and they have a VR jousting thing there. So you get an opponent, and it's so cool, though. Like, it's very, I like VR games, but it's very realistic, so.
Right on.
I would watch a jousting reality show.
So, Tim, you mentioned that guy that, you know, you earned the name Mushmaster from was giving you a lot of heat on the internet.
Yeah.
I heard that after, I missed the Parkville debut, but I heard that after you kind of handled G-Fed, you got a lot of commentary from some of the MCW faithful who were wondering who you were and how you beat them so decidedly and so quickly and... kind of maybe some allusions to maybe politics played into that match.
What do you mean by politics?
Well, and the one thing that a lot of them said is, but he kind of sums it up. A lot of them were like, well, we didn't get introduced. They didn't do enough to introduce. And it's like, what do we have to introduce him? Just Google him.
Right.
Right.
Everyone has these in their pockets. Yeah. People listening right now, this could be on their television, but they're scrolling through their phones right now. So if you're listening to this, or even if you're half watching, go on your phone, Google Tim Spriggs or Tim Mushmaster Spriggs or whatever version of that you want, and you will see why I'm bringing legitimacy, not just to MCW, but professional wrestling. That's all the introduction that you need.
Yeah, I would say to all of those fans that were giving Tim Spriggs a little bit of the static online, maybe you should have watched his first edition of the MCW cast and you would have known his credentials and how an athlete of his caliber could go through someone like G-Fed, a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's just another level when you bring that BJJ background and the mouth guard, it says something.
And I'll say this, too. I'm used to haters. I get haters all the time. I've gotten into jiu-jitsu. I'm more than capable of dealing with it in professional wrestling. But if you guys were mad before, imagine what's going to happen at Breakthrough. Imagine.
Yeah.
Because now you guys just made it worse for whoever I'm in the ring with.
That's right. And you're talking about April 16th. We've got a Breakthrough show coming up. We'll be in Havre de Grace, Maryland, just a little down the road from where we are right now.
At the State Theater.
Yeah. I have not been there before, so I'm looking forward to it. But this is a little bit different type of show for us, where we're introducing lots of new talent. And, you know, many of them are from the training center who have worked their way through for the last couple of years. And some are some outside. Yeah, some other... you know, rising stars on the indies. And of course, you will be there as well. So, you know, will you be facing a veteran? Will you be facing one of these up and coming indie stars? Will you be facing somebody from our training center?
Will you be facing another standout athlete like Miles Hawkins?
Yeah.
Even though it's only days away, we're still putting some things together. Mm-hmm. So from a matchmaking, because what the people are going to like about this, if some of our regular fans are going to come up to it, it's probably going to be about 12 or 13 matches.
So okay.
Mm-hmm. More, it's going to be maybe like a three and a half hour show, mm-hmm. a little bit longer. But because we're going to break this up into monthly, like 30-minute shows for YouTube, mm-hmm. a YouTube-specific show, to kind of introduce them to some people that they don't get the chance to see, because at the end of the day, the shows are like a big chessboard. You know, it's only so many enemy pieces you can get on the board, so it's only so many people you can get on shows. So this is the kind of way to introduce and give other indies, you know, people are always on the indies trying to get an opportunity with MCW. So it's kind of a way, we don't have any big national names we're bringing in for mm-hmm. autograph signings, to give some of the younger, fresh talent an opportunity to kind of shine.
Yeah, and we really want to hear feedback from the fans too, as well after this show. Like, let us know what you liked, who you liked, who piqued your interest. Because, yeah, there's going to be a lot of new faces and new names on this show, and you know, we hope that you are thoroughly entertained. Because I feel like this is one of those shows where we really have something to appeal to everyone. Like, there's just so many different types of performers that we're going to have, and just so many different things. You know, we've got Jadis Quinn, you know, has been making a name as well.
He's definitely been making an impact.
Yeah, very interesting social media presence,
How would you handle someone like a Jadis Quinn with all of the mind games that we saw him playing on a Brandon Scott? Brandon Scott was able to, you know, top him, but like, what if you had someone like Jadis Quinn with the fishnets on, like kind of caressing your body and stuff? Have you ever had anything like that happen to you in the ring or in BJJ? Probably not.
Usually it was always with some beautiful woman, and it was after the event when I was celebrating in my hotel or at the club afterwards. But the thing is, like, why would he want to put his hands on me? Because if you touch me, you're in grappling range. As soon as I'm able to put my hands on you, it's over. You saw what happened to G-Fed.
He's got a point.
This is true.
Yeah, I know.
He would avoid me.
Let me ask you a question. From being in tournaments, obviously publicly in front of, what was it different? Was it a different feeling you going out there in a pro wrestling ring, like in an MCW show, compared to being on the mat in jiu-jitsu?
It was the feeling was the same. I was excited.
Yeah.
And I was supremely confident that I was going to win. And quite frankly, I did win most of the time in jiu-jitsu, definitely lately. No different. I actually like pro wrestling more because I finally have an opportunity and a platform to show the world just how big of a star I am. I love being able to having all my assistants, my team, Team Spriggs, coming out there with my belts. It was great to do. It was great having a packed house in there looking at me. But as far as feeling, same thing. I knew I was going to go in there for the kill, get the job done, and cash a check.
Mm. Tim, I got to tell you, I'm salivating beside myself with the anticipation for some of the matchups that we're going to see you in. Mm-hmm. And also, in kind of the matchmaking mindset of my own, I'm thinking people are hearing the words coming out of your mouth, and they're going to want to try you. Mm-hmm. Okay? After seeing what you you may laugh right now. You may laugh, but after seeing what you did to G-Fed, after hearing what's come out of your mouth right now on the MCW cast, I guarantee you there's a locker room full of guys, hungry guys.
Mm-hmm. Bring them on. I'm looking. Is this the camera right here? Bring them on. Check this out. I want all the beasts. I want all the tough guys. The reason why I came to MCW is because you guys are the number one independent wrestling promotion in the country. You know what that means? That means it's not just MCW guys that come through here. There's guys from all over the world that come here, and I want them all. Because at the end of the day, when I make it to the top, I don't want any excuses. I don't want anybody to say that I ducked anybody. I didn't want anybody to say I had an easy role, because when I make it to the top, I don't want any excuses. So bring them on. Dan, you're the man. Bring them on. You got connections everywhere in this business. You are respected in this game. And I will proudly carry the MCW banner because, in my eyes, this is my promotion. I came here for a reason to take over, and I want all the beasts. So, yes, they can be mad all they want, but there's a way we can handle it. It's right out there in the other room. There is a ring, and that's where we settle things. Let's sell out these arenas. Let's put on the best matches possible, the biggest matches possible, and let's just see if they can shut me up, because I talk and I talk, but I back it up.
Well, that is the part that's yet to be seen. And that is why I'm saying that many people are hearing what you have to say. And they've seen your credentials in the BJJ arena. But as far as pro wrestling is concerned, we're ready to see more out of Tim Spriggs. Yeah. And we're going to.
So let me ask you this. If you, I know that you've kind of got a blanket open challenge out there. You'll face anyone anytime. Is there someone that you could see yourself having like a dream matchup with? Like somebody out there in the professional wrestling world, you know, like just project anybody? Out into the future. Anybody.
Anybody.
Yep. Anybody.
Anybody. Well, I foresee in my future a WrestleMania main event with Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Definitely. Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. As far as, you know, more independent guys, there's this guy that says he's the best bout machine, Kenny Omega, you know, that guy. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about how great he is, you know, how he has fun matches. They get all these stars. And can I say something, by the way? I think star ratings are the stupidest thing possible. You know what I think a good match is? Me doing what I did to G-Fed. I walk in there with all my belts, all the cameras on me. I kicked the guy's ass in 15 seconds. I don't remember how long that match was, but I can tell you that my interest was longer than the match. And then I go home, go to my house where all my girls are waiting for me, and we party and we celebrate. That's a good match. Not what some dork with a blog or some newsletter thinks is a good match, because I'm trying to get in there and out of there and get paid. So, yes, I would love a match with Kenny Omega. Who cares about how good your matches are? Let's see how much of a badass you are. Let's see if you can beat me up. And I doubt it.
All right.
I'm saying the gears are turning in my head. Yeah. I hear lofty goals. I hear Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I hear Brock Lesnar. I hear Kenny Omega. Lofty, lofty opponents. What about someone like a Fred Yehi? The Savage Weight.
The Savage Weight?
Well, I mean, that's what he goes by.
Fred Yehi. I've seen a couple of his matches. You know, I like his little technical stuff, you know. I can tell he can wrestle a little bit. That'd be a little fun little exhibition for me, you know what I'm saying? Goodness. I would love to have a match with him. Somebody that's going to grapple with me, you know. I respect guys that have this kind of like shooter aesthetic.
That's why I said his name.
I love the shooter aesthetic, you know. I think it's really cool. But, you know, I seek out those type of matches. I would love those type of matches because it's right off my alley.
You're in the committee.
It's right up my alley because, you know, I have to carry the banner of jiu-jitsu, even though I don't really care too much about the industry anymore, but I carry the banner of jiu-jitsu and shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And I take pride in my background. And if we look through the history of professional wrestling, it's super tied to guys that actually got down and dirty in the shooter world, like Luthez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of guys were shooters. You know, even Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, even today, there's a long line of
Ken
guys.
Ken Shamrock.
Yep. Hey, the 11-time MCW champion, the Bruiser.
Yeah.
That was how he came through the door.
Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bad News Brown, judo Olympian, bronze medalist.
Ken Patera.
Mm-hmm. Danny Hodge.
Yeah. You're right. There's a long
the Four Pillars, history
all those
of that. Guys. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
You know? So I take pride in carrying that banner. That's what I'm going to do. So bring on Fred Yehi. Bring all those guys. I don't care.
That's right. All the Jonathan Greshams, all the Lee Moriartys.
That would be a good matchup.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones.
That's on your list?
Yes, Gresham. You know, I want Lesnar, Reigns, Omega, Gresham. All the guys with belts.
Okay.
All right. Well, I got to say, this is a riveting episode of the MCW cast, and you are literally electrifying the three of us who have, what, 60 years combined experience together, you know, 30, 20,
you just
20.
Made us senior citizens, Larry.
Well, combined, you know. The future seems like it's going to be bright. I can't wait for Breakthrough on April 16th from the State Theater in Harvard at Grace, and, you know, I really can't wait to see what else Tim Spriggs gives us here in MCW Pro and beyond.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm kind of like for the first time ever at a loss for words, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know, I was going to bring up a couple of the other matches we've got coming up at Breakthrough, but, you know, I kind of like the suspense aspect of it, too. And in the next week, we will be releasing some of these matches and getting them out there. I do want to say this is an intimate venue. So if you are on the fence about getting tickets, you don't want to wait because this is a smaller, more intimate setting.
It's about 250 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to see And Tim the Mushmaster Spriggs take out his next opponent, I would definitely, definitely not hesitate to get those tickets.
Really affordable, too. Just
$25. Yeah. It's all general admission because it's theater-style seating, correct? Seating.
So there's not a bad seat in the house, essentially.
Yeah, it's all theater-style seating, first come, first serve, $25, real affordable. Yeah. Come check it out. You won't be – I don't think you're going to see a lot of – and then, like you said, we want to see feedback.
Yep.
On who you want to
absolutely
see.
Absolutely.
One other thing I just want to shout out, because I've been to this theater a few times, the quaintest part of Harbor of Grace that you've ever been in. There's so much history in the area around the theater. They've got, you know, a VFW hall, the cannon out there, all these placards that you could learn about Harbor of Grace and how we have this French-sounding, you know, place in Maryland. Yeah. So, you know, make an afternoon of it. Get there
I've been
little...
to the lighthouse and the water. Yeah. There's a little grill that you can get food there. There's, you know, some, you can see all the ships and stuff. Like, it's actually pretty interesting up there.
It really is. So I highly recommend, you know, taking that trip out to Harvard of Grace, seeing the Mushmaster, Tim Spriggs, and whoever his next opponent is he takes on. You said overcomes. I want to, it's going to be a fight. Whoever you're in there with, they're going to fight you back.
So do get your tickets at mcwprowrestling.com and follow us on social media. We are putting out a lot of new content. We're on TikTok now. We're getting active on that. We're doing a lot of you know, little match segments we're putting out there. And of course,
and our YouTube channel.
YouTube.
I got to be honest. I think our YouTube channel is one of the best YouTube channels out there as far as independent wrestling.
It's organized really well.
Because of the different types of content we put out. We're not just putting out matches, but the MCW cast is featured on there.
Backstage pass.
You know.
Flashback Friday, in fact, this week is Megan Bain versus Gia Scott at Monster Mash 2021. Nice. Yeah.
That was
Not too much of a flashback, right? But that was another theater show that we did there as well.
And that was the MCW debut, right, of Megan Bain, who unfortunately suffered a serious injury.
Yeah.
You know, on the shelf.
Rising star, lots of eyes on her, and then, and what was it, ACL, right? ACL injury at the worst time.
So right when she was getting a lot of buzz in AEW, but as we've all kind of discussed, she's got the look and and charisma and personality. Yeah. She's was here on the cast with us. She's going to be fine.
Yeah,
she will be.
Unfortunately, totally
a little bump in the road for her. But you can watch that debut on Flashback Friday this coming week.
And not to bring it back to my point earlier or to get you shook, Tim, but those types of things happen.
Yeah,
you know, Megan Bain was on her. She was on her way.
Right there doing AEW, about to get a lot of buzz going around.
A lot of buzz, you know.
She
just kind of like you, Tim. You know,
around the time that happened, she was like this. She had kind of almost eclipsed Leo at one point as the most searched on our YouTube site.
Yeah,
you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, was showing that kind of, you get a gauge for how much buzz someone's getting online.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden the injury, but she'll be fine.
Yes.
As I'm sure Tim Spriggs will be.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to be the harbinger of, you know, like things to come or anything like that. It's
Are you trying to jinx me?
Not at all. I want to see you go so far.
I feel like he really wants to see you kick some ass. So I don't think he's jinxing you at all.
So, yeah, a lot of people know I have a background in announcing MMA, BJJ, boxing. And, you know, sometimes when you're at those shows, there's only maybe one or two bangers, you know, like real kind of like the way that the whole crowd is on their feet. A lot of technique, you know, so sometimes it's not as exciting as a pro wrestling event where there's always going to be excitement. And since there's always going to be excitement, I want to see how exciting it's going to be when Tim Spriggs gets in there with a caliber of athlete on his level. I want to see you get through someone, you know, that's maybe with a little bit more expertise in the same types of combat that you have. If you can get through them as quickly as you got through GFED.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Well, we are looking forward to seeing what you have next. How can people follow you? Are you active on social media?
Yes, you can go to Tim Spriggs BJJ on Facebook and Instagram.
And I know you're not that active, but tell us your Twitter, because Larry's a big Twitter.
Okay, I only have a burner. I do not. That's my burner.
Thank you. I do not use Twitter either.
So, Mushmaster, you're never on it. You never really do anything.
I have a burner. Let's just keep it at that. That is my burner. Here's the thing, man. I Twitter's fun and everything, but the less I have to deal with these pro wrestling fan dweebs that just, you know, all they do is just try to look up dirt and everything instead of looking for a girlfriend or a hot shower, the better. So I don't have a Twitter, but you guys can find me at Tim Spriggs BJJ on Instagram and Facebook. If you're a beautiful woman, please slide in the DMs. I may respond, but you need to put in your resume.
Well, Tim, I think that you have made so many fans on this episode of the MCW cast, and I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm serious because the way that you have essentially attacked this microphone, if you will, and said your piece with pride and gusto, it just leaves me wanting more. So more of Tim Spriggs right here at MCW Pro. We'll see you next time, next Tuesday, for another exciting and insightful edition of the MCW cast.